the soundtrack of the decade when Martin Luther King Jr. made his mark on America and the world was largely this.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if your love's still strong.
I see this war as an unjust, evil, and futile war.
Stevie Wonder and Martin Luther King Jr. Motown and Martin go together, and not just in time. Martin Luther King was also one of the recording artists, you might say, for a project Motown founder Berry Gordy was convinced needed to happen, along with all the hit records of the Jackson 5, Diana Ross, and Stevie Wonder. That voice of Martin Luther King was released in 1970, 2 years after he was assassinated, a speech called Why I Oppose the War in Vietnam on the Black Forum label. Black Forum featured speeches, poetry, oral history, and a bit of singing by some of the legends of black intellectual and political life, Langston Hughes, Margaret Danner, Ossie Davis, Bill Cosby. Veteran broadcaster Alvin Hall recently produced a story for the BBC on the history of this not terribly well-known label, Black Forum. Alvin Hall, welcome to The Takeaway.
Glad to be here.
So this is an interesting bit of history. I knew nothing about a Black Forum, even though I certainly had heard some of these speeches.
It literally disappeared from the landscape. When Motown moved to California, and over the years they've reissued many recordings, one of the ones they have never reissued are the recordings from the Black Forum label. And we often wonder why, because it was a time when they were committed to introducing America to the politics and other activities that were going on during that time. But it seems as history has gone along, people have forgotten about this.
Well, tell us how, as you discovered it, Black Forum actually began. Berry Gordy needed some convincing here.
Yes, he did need convincing. He was a cautious man, especially in business, and he was really worried that if Motown became too political, that it would undermine the success of groups like the Supremes, the Four Tops, and the Temptations. Two guys had to convince Berry Gordy. Ewart Abner, who had been at VJ Records, came over to work at Motown, and Junius Griffin was already there. And they were the two guys who convinced Berry Gordy to start Black Forum Records. These guys had been involved in different ways in aspects of the civil rights movement, whether it was CORE or working for Martin Luther King, and they saw the need to educate the public, to give the public more information about what was going on nationally, and they were the ones who convinced them.
Let's listen to Guess Who's Coming Home, Black Fighting Men recorded live in Vietnam, which was released in February of 1972.
In April of 1968, the day after Martin Luther King died, there was a mass flag raising, and the flags that were flying were not American flags. They were not black power flags. They were Confederate flags. And they flew for approximately 3 days, and nobody said anything about it.
This was instant oral history at the time, yes?
Yes. Wallace Terry, a correspondent for Time magazine, went to Vietnam and recorded these black soldiers live on the battlefield. This recording was so powerful, and the title of the recording, I think the name is so wonderful, is Guess Who's Coming Home, clearly a play on Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And when you listen to this recording today, it is chilling, because here are black men in Vietnam fighting for freedom, fighting imperialism, and then coming home to deep racism, but also encountering daily the deep racism that was embedded in the military service at that time.
It was also unflinching in the sense that, it really wanted to give a sense of the most controversial, the most politically, maybe not strident is the word, but certainly pulling no punches. Here's a poet, Amiri Baraka, a voice we just lost within the last few weeks, performing Who Will Survive America on the album It's Nation Time that was released in April of 1972.
Who will survive America? Few Americans, very few Negroes, and no crackers at all. Who will survive America? Few Americans, very few Negroes, and no crackers.
Alvin, what did Amiri Baraka think he was doing when he got involved in Black Forum here?
He was brought into this by Woody King Jr. First, he did a recording called Black Spirits, which was a festival of new black poets in America. And Woody produced that at both BAM and the Apollo, and that became the first album that Amiri actually headlined. Following that, he wanted to do something with his own poetry and this new music. So he saw this as informing the public, as bringing together all of this emotion, this energy, and this music that would inspire the public to understand what was going on in their own nation.
And you know, tell me about really perhaps the most emblematic recording of all, where the intersection really comes complete. It's a recording of actual songs, but on the Black Forum label.
This is Elaine Brown. Elaine Brown was the only female to lead the Black Panther Party. And I must say, John, that my interview with her in San Francisco remains so vivid in my mind. She is still a fierce and strongly committed woman. She came to Black Forum because Huey Newton, who was in jail listening to her music, told her that she needed to make a recording. She viewed this as strictly the equivalent of publishing a newspaper. In fact, that's exactly what she said to me. She didn't view this as song. She didn't view this as recording. She viewed this as getting the information out about the Black Panther Party that she had been told to do by Huey Newton.
Here's the song, Until We're Free.
Yes, I remember the yesterdays, the poverty that you and me survived. We tried living on streets that weren't giving, and laughed and cried in youth we died and didn't know.
If you had wanted a second album done, then I would have thought about it, but I didn't think about it one way or the other. I was too engaged in being a member of the Black Panther Party, and this was a part of my work. This was not an album of songs. This was like producing and publishing our newspaper.
So that's your interview with Elaine Brown. In a sense, did she end up shuttering the Black Forum label? It stopped publishing after that Elaine Brown album.
No, she didn't shutter it. What actually happened was simple economics. When Motown distributed its records, it had a group of distributors, and they would order the records. So they'd order 20 Supremes, 15 Temptations, and 2 Black Forum. So there was never the demand or distribution for the records that they anticipated. So after losing money, Berry Gordy closed the doors on it. It was strictly economics.
What were the sales?
No one really knows. I have tried to find that out, and no one knows how many of these records were sold. What's interesting to me was that when I got involved with this project, John, was that I went through my record collection, and I actually had 2 of the albums in my own collection.
Well, it's an old story in the music business, but thanks so much for opening a window on a bit of Motown history that's also very much a part of American history. Alvin, thanks so much.
You're most welcome.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.